this morning in commitments, but I'm going to leave that for at the end of the service, taking our commitments for this evening. And I know the Lord's going to do some great things with our church in the coming future in relation to the issue of missions. And as I've said a couple of times, I don't know of a greater person to have for a missions conference than Dr. Pat Crete. He has not only promoted and been involved in missions through Independent, but has stepped out and become a director at BIMI. And he's lived it by example, been involved in missions every day. He breathes and eats missions. And I'm glad to have him. I'm excited to have him tonight. And I know that around here at Woodlawn, we won't settle for being mediocre. We want to see the great and mighty things that the Lord has for us. And I'm excited to have him once again preach for us this evening. Make sure you turn your cell phones off. Give him your full attention. I know you got a full stomach, but give him your full attention. I know you'll get a blessing.
Okay, let me ask you to turn tonight to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Boy, that was a great meal, wasn't it? How many of you saw Pastor bring that big pan of banana pudding over there to our table? You see that? Now that's a good example of how the Holy Spirit can bring great conviction upon an individual and cause them to get right. Amen? But that was good. And we certainly appreciate all that's been done this week. And just your kind hospitality and just your faithfulness being in the services. Been just a wonderful time for June and myself. We have certainly enjoyed, and we enjoy this church. It's so much like Independent in your makeup, and that's what we enjoy. Just seeing an international flavor, and that's exciting. You know, it gets so personal sometimes you get to thinking about it, and last night I actually had a dream about the church, and I dreamt I'd gone to heaven, and I started meeting some folks from Woodlawn in heaven, and I was walking through the streets and met Brother Bob, and It was the strangest thing. Oh, you're surprised that I met him? The strangest thing, he was chained to one of the ugliest women you've ever seen in your life. And it was just a strange thing. I said, Brother Bob, what in the world's going on? He said, I didn't pay my taxes for 10 years and I've got to be chained to this woman. I went on down the street and I met Brother Bobby. And when I met him, he was chained to even an uglier woman. And I said, Brother Bobby, I said, what in the world's going on? He said, I didn't pay my taxes for 15 years. I've got to be chained to this woman. So I left, went on down, and I ran into Brother Joe Colicello. And when I ran into Brother Joe, it was even stranger. He was chained to one of the most beautiful women you would ever want to see in your life. I mean, just beautiful. I said, Brother Joe, what in the world's going on? Before he could say a word, the woman said, I didn't pay my taxes for 20 years, and I've been chained. So, you know, it really gets personal as you, we've enjoyed it. We've had a great time and just appreciate all that's been done. And thank you for this time. I'm excited about what God is doing in the missions part of your church. And glad that we could be a small part. June and I appreciate your church took us on for support when we resigned independent and started what we're doing now. So you've supported us probably for 15 years now, and faithfully, and we certainly appreciate that and count it a real privilege and just desire to represent you well throughout the West Indies. And so we're excited about what's happening now just to take your missions program a step further. I want us to look at Luke chapter 5 tonight, and I want us to think about what God wants us to do. In the matter of faith promise, you have your commitment card, and thinking about that, and maybe you haven't filled it out yet, what God would have you do in your commitment. Maybe you have filled it out, and maybe God's dealing with you about increasing what you've already committed yourself to do. Maybe God's dealing with you about just giving Him your life. Maybe God wants to use you in a different way than He's used you before, and down deep you know He's speaking to your heart about just giving Him your life to do whatever He wants. Maybe He's dealing with you specifically about preaching the gospel. And you sit and think, well, man, I could never do that. I don't, I'm not this or I'm not that, or I don't have this or the other. What we need to do is just give it to the Lord. He'll move us. And that's what I want us to see in this portion of Scripture tonight, how God desires just to move us step by step. He has some things planned for us. And sometimes we get to looking beyond today. We start out, years ago I preached a message at Independent on how you can look for God's will beyond God's will. And we get to thinking about something that we may consider big when God just wants us to take a step. And He doesn't want us to think about next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. He wants us to think about today and how He wants to move us today. And if He's not able to move us the direction He wants to move us now, then we're not going to be where He wants us to be out yonder. And so the important thing this week is to just simply agree with Him now. What do you want now? And don't worry about what you can't do out there if this happens or that happens. Just do what He wants now. In this section of Scripture that we're going to look at tonight, Simon Peter had just gotten saved. Now think about that. We know Simon Peter, the type of fellow he was, and a lot of us can relate to it because that's how we are. But he had just gotten saved, and he has no idea what God has for him. He doesn't know anything about Acts chapter 2 and Pentecost and what He's going to use him to do there and that message he preaches. He has no idea about Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius and taking the gospel to the Gentile household there. He doesn't know any of those things. All he knows that he's saved and Christ begins speaking to him and attempting to get him just to take the step that he needs to take right now. And Simon Peter reacts to Christ the way I think that you and I act often. And so let's take a look at it. Let's pray, and then we'll just work our way through this section of Scripture. Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity again tonight to open the Bible. And we appreciate so much Your activity this week in our lives. God, I thank You for this church. I thank You for the testimony of this church and what You've done in this place, in this spot of ground over these years. And not only what You've done right here in this area, but the influence around the world. And just the missionaries that have gone out of this place. Missionaries supported from this place. And then the soul-winning station that it's been. God, I pray that the years ahead would be greater than the years that passed. because of what's been done, and because of your activity, and because of these folks just agreeing with you as you speak to their hearts. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for this congregation that you've put together here. God, I pray that you would just cause a sweetness in this place. Just a togetherness, an agreement that would just permit you to move in the way you want to move. And I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. These folks have come on Sunday night to get something from you. I pray that you would honor that. In Christ's name, amen. Look at the first three verses as we begin. And I want you to see how Christ begins dealing with Simon Peter. In verse 1 of chapter 5, Luke 5, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," that's upon Christ, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now I want us to see two things in the beginning of this story about Simon Peter. Now remember, he's just gotten saved, and Christ is beginning to disciple him. We see the importance here of a person being discipled. Christ's 3.5 years of ministry on this earth was spent discipling these 12 men. And that shows us the importance of not just winning someone to Christ, but spending time, investing in their lives to help them to grow to the place that they desire to serve. Now, I want you to see two things. Number one, I want you to see how Jesus dealt with Simon Peter personally. He spoke to him personally. There are other people on the shore here, but he deals with Simon Peter personally. There are other fishermen, but he speaks to Simon Peter personally. We need to realize that God is personally involved in our lives. We are not a number. We are an individual to Christ. We are personal to God. And He knows us personally. Hey, listen, God knows the very hairs of your head. He has them numbered, right? I started to say that, and I looked over here, and I thought, man, a lot. I had a joke so funny that make your hair fall out, but I see a lot of you have already heard it, so I wasn't. I shouldn't have gotten into that, but hey, God's personally involved in our lives, and we need to realize that. And we see the importance of that here. He is personally involved in Simon Peter's life. Now, what is he trying to do with Simon Peter here? Think about this. He is simply trying to get Simon Peter to trust him. Just to get him to trust him. Now, we talk about trusting God, and we would like to think that we do trust God, but I'm afraid sometimes that we do not trust Him near as much as we think we do and talk about doing. But here He simply wants Simon Peter to put his confidence in Him. Notice what He did. He, in verse 2 it says, "He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land." So what he wanted to do was simply use Simon Peter's boat. He simply said, "Let me use your boat to push out from the land and so I can speak to these people." And he's simply dealing with Simon Peter about trusting him, giving him what he wanted Simon Peter to give him at this moment. And we look at it and we say, well, what's the big deal? It was just using his boat. You ever notice how it's never a big deal when it's somebody else? But it's always a big deal when it's us. You know, when God deals with you, I don't know why you just don't sell out, give Him everything, and do everything He wants. But when He speaks to me, it's a different story. And it's easy to look at something like this and look at individuals and judge them when we look at it as a small thing in their situation. But all He wants here is Simon Peter's boat. He's been fishing all night. They're cleaning their nets, maybe sleepy, ready to go home. And to Simon Peter, I'm sure it was not a small thing. I got thinking about this one time, you know, just putting our confidence in God, just doing what He wants us to do. And as I read this scripture and I tried to see how this could be applied in a practical way, and I got to thinking about the banking. You know how the banking is in our area. It's very impersonal. Most of the times when you deal with a bank here, you really don't know them and they don't know you. And most of our banking is done through at the drive-through window, right? I dealt at one bank for 18 years. I was in the lobby of that bank maybe five times in 18 years. And that's the way it is around here. And I got to thinking about my banking. You know how I get paid. And boy, when I got that paycheck, you know, I had to get to the bank, get it in, get checks covered I'd already written or ones I needed to write right away, get things taken care of. And so you get that paycheck and you sign it and you get at that drive-through window and hand it to somebody you don't even know and deposit it and drive away and give them your money. When's the last time you went through that process, deposited your paycheck, and as you drove away, the thought came to your mind, I wonder if they're really going to take care of my money. Huh? I wonder if they might take my money and use it for something else, and when I pay my mortgage payment, my money's not going to be there. You say, that's silly. Why is it silly? Because you and I have come to a place that we trust an important thing like the money that we need to live off. We trust that to people we don't even know. Why? Because we have confidence in them. And then God comes along and says, hey, would you, and oh, wait a minute, I'll have to pray about that. Huh? Guilty? Hey, you and I are guilty of trusting people more that we don't know than we are God sometimes. And God has trouble getting us to put our confidence in Him often more than we put in someone we don't even know. And all He's trying to do here is simply get Simon Peter just to trust Him. And that's what this week's all about. Yeah, hey, God's not going to abuse us. He's not going to take advantage of us. Hey, everything we have belongs to Him anyway. Everything we have was given to us by Him. Hey, He could give us more in a moment, or He could take everything we have in an instant. And yet we act like we make the decision about it. And that stuff we have is just an instrument in our lives to prove our confidence in God and how much we really care about Him. Now notice what happened here. He begins to deal with Simon Peter, and in verse 4, he says, now, when he had left speaking, when Christ had finished speaking, he said unto Simon, he zeroes right back in on Simon Peter. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, that word draught there simply means a great catch. That's what he's saying. Simon Peter's a fisherman. This is his livelihood. He says, hey, you want a great catch? Then take your nets, plural, move out into the deep, and you can have a great catch. Now, notice how Simon Peter responded. Now, remember, this is his business. This is what he does. This is how he makes his living. And verse 5, it says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Singular. You see his attitude? What Simon Peter is indicating in his answer there is, listen, we've been out there fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. They are not to be caught. Yet Christ has just told him how to have a great catch. What Simon Peter is saying to Jesus, I'm the expert fisherman. Huh? And I know they're not to be caught, no matter what you say. I fish this sea all the time. I know where fish can be caught when others are not catching fish. I have my favorite places. I know this sea. I'm an expert fisherman, and we've been out there all night, and we haven't caught a thing. They're not to be caught. Nevertheless, to appease you. Hey, he's talking to the one that put the sea there. Huh? He's talking to the one that put the fish in the sea. Do you know Jesus could talk to those fish and they'll go where he wants them to go? And yet Simon Peter is saying to him, I know more about this sea than you do. I know more about the fish in this sea than you do. Does that sound familiar? If you and I would become more sensitive to God dealing with us, we'd recognize this in our lives a lot more. How we think we're the expert. And if we do this, it's going to work out this way. Huh? And all he wants us to do is just trust him. So look at what happens here. Verse 6. And when they, Simon Peter in verse 5, he takes that one net, he moves out there, and in verse 6 it says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now, can you imagine what's happening here? We know the type of fellow Simon Peter is. And Simon Peter indicates there in verse 5 that he's maybe a little irritated about this thing. Nevertheless, we'll throw a net over. So he puts, I can see him putting a net in that boat, and you know, a little irritated, they push out and into the sea, and they get into the water, they drop that net, and as soon as they drop it, whoo, it is so full of fish, the net begins to break. Simon Peter, I can see him coming alive. And he hollers, James, John, get over here, bring your boat. Man, they have a catch. Now think about the net being so full it begins to break. They bring the other boat over. They fill both of those boats so full of fish that they begin to sink. Now remember, this is their livelihood. Can you see them? They don't want to lose a fish. They're trying to get every fish in the boat. Man, they're trying to, because that's money in the bank. Everything they can get. This is business. And then all of a sudden it happens. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, the light came on. All of a sudden he realized, this is exactly what Jesus told me would happen. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drop of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. All of a sudden he realized what had taken place, and when he remembered and when it came to him, he fell down on his knees before Christ, and he said, in essence, you shouldn't waste your time with me. I'm not worth you spending your time on. You ought to find somebody who will listen to you. Now listen, when he gets us to that place, he can do something with us. When he gets us to the place that we realize he's the master, He's the expert. I'm not. He knows best. I don't. Amen? When we come to a place that we realize I'm nothing, He's everything. I know nothing, He knows everything. Then He can do something with us. And once Simon Peter came to this place, notice what he said to him. In the middle of verse 10, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now that's what this week's about. This week's not about the money. It's about catching men. Money's just the thing that God puts in our possession to test us. It's just the object that causes us to choose between ourselves and God. Right? See, He controls the money. That's His. He can increase it or decrease it. But it's there. And we make a decision. We make many of our decisions based on it. And more often than we want to admit, it causes us not to trust God as we should, instead of trusting Him. Amen? And so He says, hey, don't worry about it. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Now, I think one thing this shows here is we don't have to be perfect for God to use us to catch men. We don't have to know it all. We don't have to be it all, because Simon Peter was not all that God possibly wanted him to be at that moment. And yet He used him, because his attitude became right. He came to a place that he agreed with God. And I read this and realized what was happening. I thought about a time we had a fellow saved in our church. He worked downtown D.C. He was a construction fellow. He was a motorcycle guy. Man, he was the leather jacket, tattoos. I mean, he was muscular. And the weightlifting guy, he was the typical motorcycle construction fellow. And he got saved. And when he got saved, he thought, man, all these guys I work with, they'll want to hear this. You know how it is? Huh? And he asked me, he said, preacher, if I'll get us appointments, will you go with me and see these guys? I said, okay, I'll go with you. If you go, I'll go. You know. So he came to visitation one night, and he said, I got an appointment. I said, okay. I knew if somebody set up an appointment with him, it would probably be a good visit. And man, I was ready to go. And I said, okay, let me get these people out of here, and you and I will go visit. And I said, now where's the visit? He said, Spotsylvania County. When he said that, my zeal disappeared. I mean, you're talking an hour and a half, 2 hours. Spotsylvania County then was, I mean, it was more country than it is now. And, you know, it was up to the Beltway and around the Beltway to 95, 95 down to Fredericksburg. Fredericksburg, you turn off on 3 and go over to 20 down the county, and then you get on the county road, then you get on the dirt road, then you look for the fork in the road. The big oak tree, the white church building. That's what it was. I said, man, it's going to be two. I thought to myself, it's going to be 2 hours before we get there. If we get there, we'll be there. It's going to be the wee hours of the morning before we get back. My attitude changed. I became a Simon Peter. I became the expert. This shouldn't be. You know, I don't want to do this. Man, a lot. So I said to him with a different attitude, well, let me get these people out of here. So we got everybody going. He and I got in the car. We went down. I mean, that's the way it was. We looked for that place and looked for that place. Finally, we came to this house, had the light on, way out in the boonies. And he said, man, I think this is it. I said, I hope it is. And we got out of the car and went up to the door, knocked on the door, and this fella came to the door, and they called each other's names. He said, boy, I'm glad you came. He said, come on in. We went in. The fella was sitting waiting for us, had his fiancée and his mother sitting there waiting for us to come with the Bible. I mean, it was just a matter of walking in, open the Bible, they were ready to be saved. Now, I say that to say this. We just don't have to have the best attitude all the time. We just need to do what He wants us to do. If we'll get where He wants us to be, then He will use us to reach people. And He doesn't expect all of us this week to be perfect, to know everything, to be everything. He just wants us to agree with Him. He just wants us to say, okay, you tell me what you want to do, and I'll commit to it. I'll let you use me. Give, go, I'll let you use me. And if we'll do that, then He'll become active. They forsook, what's it say? And followed Him. Isn't that something? Simon Peter pulled those boats to shore that day, full of fish. Undoubtedly the best catch they had ever had. You couldn't get any more fish in there, and they got in there. And they pulled those boats to shore and walked away from them and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, Simon Peter took a step. Hey, he's not at Pentecost yet. He's got a lot to learn. He's got to go through a denial of Christ at Calvary. He's going to make a lot more mistakes. But that day, he took a step to move in the direction of Pentecost, of all that God used him to do. He just took a step. Some years ago, we had, it's been 35 years ago now. We had three little girls ride a bus to our church. After they rode the second Sunday, I took a staff member, and we visited the home of Alfredo and Maria Tello. Alfredo, and some of you may know the Tellos there in our church. They've been there for 35 years, still there. Alfredo is from Peru. Maria is from Ecuador. We walked into their home that night, and they had not been in the States a long time. They had just moved to Clinton. They could speak very little English. We could speak no Spanish. And we began trying to get the gospel to them. You know how you do when you're talking to somebody, you know, your baby talk, your pre-kindergarten, your illustrating, you're visualizing. We did everything we could to try to make sure they understood the gospel. Well, they bowed their heads and prayed. And we walked out of there that night, and I said to the fellow with me, I said, do you really believe they understood? Or do you think maybe they just did what they did because they wanted to please us? But you know, Sunday they were in church, walked the aisle, baptized, and they have been faithful for 35 years. Brother Tello started bringing Hispanics to church. He would bring Hispanics to church, and they would sit over here on about the fourth row. He would have them on both sides of him. They couldn't understand a word I was saying, but he would interpret for them while I was preaching. Then when I finished, he would lead them to Christ, bring them forward. And we started having so many Hispanics saved that we had to start an Hispanic ministry to have someone that could speak to them and preach to them. And Brother Tello came to me after a few years, and he said, Pastor, he said, now, you know I grew up in Lima, but he said, I was born in a little town called Chavanillo, way back in those Andes Mountains. He said, I've still got relatives back there. And he said, if we don't help them get the gospel, he said, they'll never hear about Christ. Well, you know, man, I've never been to Peru at that time. I don't even know where Lima is. You're talking about something back in the Andes Mountains. How in the world am I going to help with that? So what do you say? Okay, Brother Tello, we'll pray about it, you know. But he wouldn't leave me alone. I mean, he just kept on me. And finally I said, okay, I'll do something. And so I wrote BIMI, told them the situation. They wrote me back and gave me the missionary's name in Lima, Peru. And I wrote the missionary in Lima, Peru. And I was home one night, and I got a call from a man down the Tidewater area near Norfolk. And he said, I'm trying to reach Pat Creed. I said, I'm Pat Creed. He said, I've got a man on radio from Huanuco, Peru, wants to talk to you. I said, well, if you can plug him in, I'll talk to him. So he plugged him in. He said, Tom Pace got a hold of me and said, you need a preacher in Chavanillo. I said, yeah, that would be good. He said, we're in Huanuco. We're way up in the mountains. But he said, Chavanillo's 5 hours on up in the mountains from us. But he said, I've got a man I can send up there, but somebody's going to have to pay his salary. I said, well, you send him up there, we'll pay his salary. And we started sending his salary down. And they would write, and they'd want this, and we'd send it, and they'd write and want that. And finally, they wanted to build a building, buy land. So I told Brother Tello, I said, Brother Tello, I said, we're not going to send anything else down there until we go down and see what's going on. He said, that's great, preacher. I said, that's what I wanted you to do for years anyway. And so we planned a trip, got all set, and flew down to Lima. And the missionary there, Tom Pace, he really didn't want to go with us up in those mountains. He said, Brother Creed, if you get up there and it rains, he said, you may not get out for who knows how long. He was afraid to go with us, and he was afraid to let us go by ourselves. So he finally went with us. We got on a plane, flew up to Huanuco. Now, that was an experience. That was in the mountains, and he had to fly between the mountains in a valley to land that small jet. So we got to Huanuco and stayed there overnight. Got up the next morning. We all loaded in a vehicle and started on up in the mountains. It was a dirt road, one lane most of the way. Three or four times we had to back up to let produce trucks out of those mountains. And we started passing. Have you ever seen these women, maybe in National Geographic or something, Indian-looking women with the parched cheeks and the big old hats and the layers of dresses? And they'd be working those potato patches. And as we drove by that dirt road, they'd just stop. And in solemn faces, they'd just watch us as we went by what they were doing. Finally, about 5 hours later, we got to Chavanillo. Chavanillo was nothing more than an Indian village. No electricity, no running water, no plumbing, indoors, very little outdoors. I mean, primitive. We went over to Brother Tello's cousins. He fixed us something to eat. And then they came and got us and took us to a little building. Oh, my, just maybe... this section right here. And we walked in that building, and when we walked in, that building was jam-packed full of men and women, boys and girls. And they were singing gospel songs. Their pastor was leading them. The thought came to my mind. These people probably would never have heard the gospel if it hadn't been for one man, Alfredo Tello. We sit here tonight, if you met Alfredo Tello, he wouldn't impress you much. But I'll tell you one thing. He got the gospel to Chavanillo. Wouldn't it be sad to go through this life and miss if God had a place he wanted you to get the gospel? Maybe not as a missionary, but just to let him move you in that direction. Just to trust him to use you. You sit here tonight, you have no idea what God would like to do with you. All you can know, for the most part, is the next step he wants you to take. The thing I would like to challenge you to do is sit here this week and listen. And just say yes to him. Whatever it is, just say yes. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll never regret it. And you take a step in the direction he wants you to go. It'll lead you to just an exciting life with God. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you willing to let God just use you? Are you just willing to say yes? Yes, I'll do that. Are you open to Him speaking to you? How many folks tonight would say, "Preacher, would you pray that God would help me move the direction He wants me to go and not to miss what He has for me? He's spoken to my heart. I need to do business with Him. Would you pray that God would have His way this week in my life?" Would you slip your hand up all over the building? God bless you. Let's stand as we pray. Father, bless now. The invitation is, do we do business with You tonight? Make this an exciting time. I pray that for these that raised their hands, I pray that many tonight would just take the step in the direction that You have, and that ultimately they would sense You doing just the things in their lives that You want to do simply because of tonight and decisions made tonight. Bless this invitation as we do business with You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come. As God's spoken to your heart, You come. And if God's dealing with you about surrendering your life, if He's dealing with you about something specific and you want to make that commitment, you ought to share it with Pastor. You ought to say yes. You come.